Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really good to be with you. Hey, we are brought to you by the NanoSoma products. You know, this brought me back from death's doorstep. This doesn't cure anything. The NanoSoma spray, five sprays once a day, or you can do it as much as you need because it's all natural. But this boosts the immune system like no one's business. I owe this my life. Then there's the NanoSoma liquid gel that you rub on your joints. And over time, you're going to start to see a reduction in symptomology because pluripotent stem cells are coming. That's right. For me, it took 2 to 3 months. And then there's the cream. Fine lines and wrinkles, but this is how I used it. You remember when you saw me with a big, big bandage here? I needed 4 to 6 stitches. Cut it wide open. I don't want to go through the trouble. Don't want to go to the ER because it was on a Friday night. So I said, I'll just put this cream on. I'll wrap it up in a couple of weeks. It'll be fine. And it was. Together, this is the starter pack. 15% off. It's tremendous. I swear by it. You will too. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, I have a question for you, America. What if everybody in the country made the same money? Have you ever thought of that? Now, there's a lot of other implications in there, and I'm going to hit some of them as we go. But this is a very intriguing question. It caught my imagination. Someone who's taught some economics, this is really, really interesting. And then how would you do such a thing? And could it even work over any period of time? Government has the ability, if they so were so inclined and weren't influenced by the rich, to redistribute the wealth to where it would all be equal. But would it stay that way? We're going to take a look at all that right here on the Common Sense Show, and let's get started right now. Well, the combined wealth of America right now is about $161 trillion. That's our net worth as a nation. When you divide it up, it's pretty paltry. The total net worth on the median, that means 50% above and 50% below, that's about $192,000. You're going, well, that's not terrible. In some countries, that'd be great. But in America, well, I thought it would be higher than that. That's what most people think. And that's because the billionaire class owns 30% of the economy. Now, Trump's policies aren't helping them at all. People say they don't pay tax. Well, whatever evasive techniques they use aren't the result of Donald Trump. And I'm not here to be his apologist, but I'm telling you, those criticisms fund the people, not the billionaires. Well, thing is when government has projects and works, who gets it? Big companies. Who owns them? Billionaires. What about the recent rage? AI, right? AI has doubled the billionaires in Silicon Valley. So this is where opportunity meets income. And this, in part, accounts for some of the economic discrepancy. And some people just have a hard time realizing somebody's smarter than you, somebody outworked you, somebody had a better strategy than you did approaching life. I will tell you this, if you think you're going to work for someone else and make a hell of a lot of money, you better be an actor, an actress, a professional athlete, because you don't get rich working for other people. Oh, you can have a nice income with those exceptions I just mentioned, but you're not going to be rich. The old philosophy is I'd rather have 1% of 100 people than 100% of one person, because some people are going to begin to outproduce others and your 100% will grow beyond that number. Okay, let's get into the distribution aspect of it. If you were to evenly divide the money in America, this is really interesting. And there was a way to do it. I'll talk about the possible ways they could do it. But if you were to do this, the average person would make almost $500,000 a year. And that's for every man, woman, child, infant, gay person on life support. Anyone who's alive would make almost $500,000 per year. How would that affect the economy? Oh my goodness gracious. People would pay off their debts, their loans, all kinds of good things would happen. People would be able to go to the trade school, the college that they could qualify to get into, but income keeps them out. That would all disappear. That would all disappear. We would have a huge upsurge in consumer spending. The economy would be hell on wheels. However, we'd have more inflation. So, although we'd be doing well and we could tolerate the inflation to some level, the world economy cannot. Because what would the Federal Reserve do as inflation went up? Well, so would interest rates. And those international loans that our big five make here in America to foreign entities, the cost of that loan would go up. If you go from 5% to 8%, that's the percentage of increase you're going to pay on a loan. That's a lot. That would hurt global expansion. Now you'd say, well, Dave, that means America could move ahead of the rest of the world. Yes, but because we're an interdependent economy on this planet, you have to have someone to trade with. You have to have someone that can afford to buy your goods. Oh, did the light just come on? Okay, so it wouldn't be good for the global economy. But in the short term, 2, 5, at the most 10 years, it'd be a golden age, as Donald Trump likes to say, for America. Okay, let's go down this rabbit hole a little further. How would you do such a thing? How would you accomplish? Well, you have to look at where the billionaires have their money. It's not in the bank. Hello, are you listening to me? How many times have I told you, keep operating capital in the bank? And put your money to work in other areas. Now, if you're not an investor, then you buy gold, silver, and get into Bitcoin. It's that simple. You're not going to make money with the dollar. Dollar is a losing proposition. The dollar is what you have to use to transact business in America so you keep operating capital in the bank. I digress, but it proves my point. Now, where do the wealthy have that money if it's not in the banks? It's in the stock market. It's in other investments. It's in equities. It's in loans. The government could do, boy, this would not be popular with the rich, but the government could do a one-time wealth tax and the money would be evenly distributed. Oh. Well, okay. Let me ask you a question. Those lobbyists that are in Congress right now, the ones that are knocking on all those doors today, and saying, hey, we need favorable policies here because our healthy company makes for a healthy America. You better do this. And by the way, here's your campaign donation if you do it. It is a system of bribery. Now, the chances of that happen are slim and none, and slim is left down. It's possible, but I don't see the rich agreeing to it. And those lobbyists, who do they represent? You? Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? They represent the billionaires, the megalithic corporations. You know, one of the things that people aren't talking about in the media because the media is owned by them, when the USA fraud, waste, and abuse was found out, in part, who'd that money go to enrich? And I'm not making an accusation these people did anything wrong. I think USA created a lot of fraud, but I'm not saying the people who are really wealthy did this. There's no proof. Innocent until proven guilty. And they put the brakes on USAID stopping, didn't it? They put the brakes on stopping foreign aid, didn't they? Even Donald Trump is prone to these pressures. And let me give you another thought here, too. Even if you could do a one-time wealth transfer tax, would it stay that way? Think of it as a track meet. You line up all your runners. You have 8 runners for 8 lanes. And they're all starting out at the same place. Total equality. America's living out its dream of starting out in the same place. And let's say they're going to run the 100-meter dash. Would they all finish at the same time? Does an equal starting place equate to uniformity in times ran? No, it doesn't. Some people are going to move ahead of others. Well, if you take that analogy and apply it to the business world, there are people, again, they're going to figure out how to make more money. Now, some people have retired after this wealth transfer tax. They're living the good life. And some people are going to continue to work. And you're going to eventually end up with wealth inequality. It's inevitable. So it's not a long-term solution. It's a reset to try to spur the economy. And it's a reset that the rich will say, oh, really? You want to take my money? Well, you know what? Uruguay is looking really good right now, and I think I'm going to take my money there. There is actually a company out there that works with the wealthy, and you got to be a multimillionaire. And they will hunt for where you can get good passports. They will hunt for where you'll have the lowest tax rate. And they'll hunt for people that like Americans. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Anyway, I thought I would just share this with you. At the bottom line here, and I'm not going to belabor this point, but this would be the ultimate communist move, would it not? And what I just told you, would it work for long? No. And the same people that got rich would get rich again because they have the work habits and the strategies and the people behind them to make it happen. So wealth redistribution is not an answer. And yet people want to elect Mondami in New York. He's a communist. And I'm not insulting. I'm not saying, well, he's a terrible person. That's not what's being said here. I'm saying, economically speaking, his views are Stalinist. They're Marxist. They're communist. He doesn't want to have private property. Do I have to say any more? And it's antithetical to our constitutional system with the Fifth Amendment and property rights, right? And that's just one thing about him. How could we embrace someone like that for office? How could 35% of New Yorkers identify as socialists? If they only knew how economics worked, they would never call for such a thing. If you want to give people an equal starting point that doesn't disrupt the economy and is only temporary, you don't have to take money away from one group and give it to another. You simply have to educate the masses. Why do you think the Ivy League schools are so darned expensive? Well, let's talk about the advantages. Remember the show Suits? They'd only hire lawyers from Harvard. Why? It's obvious why. The Ivy League graduates have people lining up. Now, it's interesting. If you just look at law schools, about 10% of jobs come out of employer visitations to college campuses in law schools. But if it's the Ivy League, it's probably over 50. So the rich said, well, we want these institutions, for our kids. How do we keep the riffraff out so they can't compete with our kids? Riffraff would be their term, not mine. I'd be riffed. You might be raft. Well, the way they do it is to make the school so darned expensive that your kid can't afford to go there. Interesting, isn't it? Why is it so expensive to become a lawyer or a doctor? I can understand some extra expense because you're in school a little bit longer. But why is a law degree about three times more expensive than master's degree programs you can find, which are generally 2 and 3 year programs? Because a law degree is going to pay more than most graduate school people. That's why. They rig the system to favor their own. It's that simple. Why do you think that kings and queens existed? It's not because they were closer to God, that's for sure. It's so they could have the royal line and keep power in the family. And if you keep power, then you keep wealth. Same strategy, just a different venue. The bottom line is this, and this is what we're failing, in my humble opinion, to teach our kids across the board. There's some educators that do it, there are some parents that do it, but not enough. We have an entitled generation that thinks because you walk into a McDonald's, you deserve $20 an hour. That's a joke. Those were never meant to be self-sustaining jobs. They're entry-level employment, stopgap measures, and extra job to supplement a bad income. That's what. So what's happened to the price of fast food? I don't know. I don't go there. One, I'm not convinced it's healthy. That's a pretty accurate bet. Number two, they're too darned expensive. It's just as much to eat in a McDonald's as it is most sit-down restaurants, unless it's an elite restaurant. People don't understand money. People don't understand that you have to work for what you get. And there are economic principles involved in how you become better than the average. Now, there's nothing wrong with being average, but some of those average people get to the end of their life and they're sitting on their rocking chair on their front porch, telling people, as all most old people do, tell their life story, how they got to where they are. And how they regret not having gone farther, even though they probably had opportunities at some point. That's why. This is what we should be teaching our kids. We should be teaching them how to make money. Why don't we do that in school? You notice that? One of the things we don't teach too is how to have relationships. What makes a successful marriage? What's a cycle of love? It's only 4.5 years. It all comes back. But there's other things involved in that. I should probably do a story on that sometime. Maybe I'll do it today. But we don't teach people about relationships. We don't teach people about money. We do give them some useful information that can aid them in their careers, aid them in becoming a more productive citizen. But we don't really teach them the essentials on how they get ahead. And it's hard to believe that since Carnegie and Rockefeller set this system up, John Dewey, okay, but who do you think he was taking money from? So, what did Rockefeller and Carnegie want? Well, they both said it. They had this huge mass of immigrants from Europe to work in the factories. They needed the manpower, so they had to have immigration. And they wanted immigrants who were, shall we say, hardworking, desperate, and smart enough to do their job, sixth grade education, but not so smart they'd ever challenge authority. That's interesting, isn't it? So back to the original question. Is it possible to equalize wealth in America? On paper, it's possible. In reality, it'll never happen. And anyone who votes for a politician that says this is going to happen. Now, if they're saying we're going to eliminate this tax loophole, if you take your money out of the country, we're going to have an exit tax. You're not going to go to a bank and hide it. And hide your international income and not pay tax on it like everyone else would have to. See, that's a different matter. That's not the same thing we're talking about where we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. But that's what most revolutions promise, isn't it? You are the downtrodden. We are here to fix it for you. No, you're not. The person having the revolution wants to replace the money class so they can get their money and then make the people who think they're going to get money not get money. Continue to work to enrich the people who started the revolution. It's the same pattern every time. So, do we even want to think about doing that? I suppose there's some pie in the sky and green apples on the moon. I just don't think we'll ever see them. My name is Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time. This is going to catch a lot of you off guard. And because I have both the advantage and disadvantage of living in Maricopa County in Arizona, I'm seeing both sides of this story, and it's shocking. All across America, in specific communities like mine, I live north of metropolitan Phoenix in a rural area. We're going to see roving blackouts before much longer and unsustainable utility bills. And this is coming not just to my area, but across the country, but because we're leading the way in doing this, and we're bringing it on ourselves, I have insight for the rest of you across the country that may be unaware of this. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. I just want to say, this is not about promoting fear. This is about telling you, you better get your butt ready, because this is serious. Even our local mainstream media has covered some elements that I'm going to share with you. But I think they left out a couple of key elements for quite obvious reasons. We are brought to you by Storable Food, My Patriot Supply. Let me tell you, if the grid goes down for any length of time, whether it's due to terrorism, natural causes, or what we're going to talk to you about here in this piece, you better have food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools in a society that could fragment for a period of time. That's right, because people that don't prepare will be looking to prey on those who do prepare. And that's an historical fact. So are you prepared? Do you have your storable food? Well, you should. My Patriot Supply, 25-year shelf life on the food. I recommend when you get it, you hide all of it until you need it. You might want to test it out, but I have tasted it. I've tried it. I've been a customer. And I got to tell you, it tastes great. There's 32 varieties of food. You're not going to get sick of eating the same thing. It's low cost and it's high in calories. You go, whoa, Dave, that's not a selling point. Yes, it is. Because if you dip into your storable food, you're eating to stay alive. So this is really critical that you understand this. The food is designed this way. And right now they have a 90-day special with, this is pretty cool stuff, with $200 off. I can't recommend this strongly enough. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. Well, in Arizona, and I don't know what your situation is in your state, some people are blessed to have nonprofit SRP, Salt River Project, as their utility provider. Then some people, in my humble opinion, are cursed to have APS, Arizona Public Service, which is a for-profit entity. And it's the latter that's going to basically be the cause of blackouts coming, along with irresponsible politicians that can't put limits on growth because it brings tax revenue to them and all the things that politicians love about serving in office. If that sounds facetious, I'm just saying, look at the record. Look at Congress, right? Insider trading, legal. Send you and me to prison. And you got people like Nancy Pelosi approaching billionaire status on that basis. The late Dianne Feinstein, senator from California, same exact thing. I'm not going to belabor the point, but I'm just saying, don't think for a second that these politicians sitting back in their chairs, the vast majority of them, care about the implications of what they're doing 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now. They don't care, as long as it benefits them for the next election or the next deal. And that's what history has shown me. Yeah, we do need a different servant class. As the Bible pointed out, leadership is about being a servant. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Do I have to say more? But let's get into what's going on. Our APS bill, again, and this is why we call Arizona people stealing from us. APS, that's the nickname I've heard repeatedly. They are raising the rates 14% over this issue. And that's still not enough to cover. Channel 10 News with John Hook here in Phoenix, the local Fox affiliate, covered this with real data. He said, here's what they can supply with APS customers. Here's what the demand is going to be with the requests that are before Phoenix City Council, Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, and so forth. And the state, of course, won't step in against any moneyed interest. And what am I talking about? Data centers. Data centers for AI use an inordinate amount of power. Now, we also know, too, from my dealings with Enron back in the late 90s, and I've detailed this a lot, there is energy available that could sustain data centers and AI, but it's proprietary. A lot of it's covered under the Invention Secrecy Act of 1951, and it's kept off the market because the military uses it and you can't. But it's there. I'm just saying the technology exists. So we're relying on the old systems, outdated systems, to bring energy to your home. AI is just getting started. And when they drain the grid in one area, they're going to go to another area. And they're in several areas right now. They're in the Bay Area. They're all through California. They're on the East Coast and much of New England. They're in the South and some key areas like Atlanta. But this is going to spread like stage four cancer. AI is the investment trend right now. The San Francisco area has doubled its billionaires in the last 5 years, and AI is the driving force. It's not going away. And politicians won't put a cap on it. The Phoenix City Council, led by Mayor Kate Gallego, they passed a resolution that has no effect in law saying we need to limit AI. Okay, well, then enforce it. Because the biggest AI plant in Arizona with manufacturing chips lies at what we call State Highway 303 and Interstate 17. And they're throwing all kinds of infrastructure into this right now. And I can't believe how quickly this has been built. So the Phoenix City Council is talking out of both sides of their mouth. And this is going to happen in your area too, because, money talks and average people get to walk. And that's the reality. So we are looking at roving blackouts in our future because we can't meet the energy needs. Now, in Arizona, we also are in drought conditions. In fact, Lake Mead, one of our main suppliers of water, the USGS just issued a severe drought, low water warning for Lake Mead. So, water and electricity are is what needed to power AI, and it's not happening in a responsible, sustainable manner. I think there's going to have to be some major hell to pay, and there's going to be a lot of pain before people are willing to stand up collectively, because most people don't even know about this. I surveyed a few of my friends. Oh, by the way, I'm kind of working on a story here. Have you heard about? No. Well, I've heard it takes a lot of energy, but they haven't connected it to their lives. This is relevant to most of you out there. And if it's not yet, it's going to be. Because this is the future. AI is going to be everything. And I have concerns about AI. And let me just remind you before you think I jumped off the paranoid bridge, 10,000 scientists signed a petition when Biden became president, saying, please limit AI, particularly in the area of sentience, its self-internal control. Nothing was done. That's a concern I have. Now, setting that concern aside and just dealing with the power energy issue, this is still a major catastrophe. We all are looking at grid down, grid down, grid down. We've talked about this endlessly on shows. We know it's a real threat with the terrorist groups that are in our country. And it doesn't take much to bring down a grid. In fact, I remember when I was speaking with John Moore on air, ex-Green Beret, he said a well-trained squad of eight soldiers could bring down a grid the size of the city of Los Angeles. And that's pretty accurate. And I've heard this in other areas. So it doesn't take a lot with terrorists. But I'm not even talking about terrorists. I'm talking about what we're doing to ourselves. And President Trump needs to step up and set limits. We need to have a power availability with cost effectiveness in relation and proportion to the energy needs by AI. And how is this benefiting the public? Is this a boondoggle to make all the, for example, APS customers pay 14% more next year and probably 14% the year after that and the year after that? Is it up to us to fund the money-making ventures of the people behind AI for their energy needs? That's what I suspect is going on. And the early returns on my investigation seem to bear this out. And it's interesting, too. There's a bigger issue here, too. You say bigger than, yeah, it's bigger. How many of you have a nonprofit like Salt River Pod Project, SRP, a nonprofit energy utility company? Oh, count your blessings. It's your lucky day as God has smiled on you. How many of you have something like what we're stuck with? And you don't get a choice in Arizona. You should have a choice. With two power companies, you should have a choice. You want this one or that one. They don't give you a choice because everybody chooses SRP because they're nonprofit. They even give refunds. APS has never given a refund. They've never rolled back a rate ever, but SRP has. How many of you have the APS model for profit? Yeah, well, you're the ones that are going to be most affected. But this will spill over to SRP, just not to the level. It's kind of like banking. Would you want to be in one of the big five banks and all the rights they take away from you and the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 and all those things I talk about? Or would you rather be in a credit union that's closer to the people and they're less likely to invoke UCC Section 8 or Dodd-Frank 2010 to the detriment of their depositors? Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. SRP is the safer bet, but here in Arizona, we don't get a choice. In most states, you don't get a choice at all. You just have one energy company, and you need to ask yourself and find out, is this for profit? Because if it is, it tells you where the rates are going. To the moon, Alice, to quote the honeymooners. I just thought you had a right to know. And I'm sounding the alarm early. I'm kind of the early man on the scene here, Paul Revere, although I want to give credit to John Hook and Channel 10 for covering this. I think, and also believe Channel 3, our local independent tied into the CBS Channel 5, has talked about this as well. And I want to give them credit for at least making the public aware, hey, there's an issue here. But I'm telling you, I think the issue is much more severe than what we saw in the mainstream media. Because people, it's going to get down to, the old saying, heat or eat. We're already there. It's only going to get worse. And politicians won't react to the people until you make them uncomfortable, until you threaten their longevity with regard to their political career. Otherwise, they're going to feed the beast. And I thought you had a right to know. We'll certainly be revisiting this issue at a later time. Hey, if you've not checked out our newsletter, oh my gosh, you should. I'm getting rave reviews on what we're doing with the HIP series, Hiding in Plain Sight. Pretty cool stuff. Yeah, anomalies of the mind, of the person, of the environment. I even covered the UFO hearings in Congress. I thought they were interesting. Now, being a Christian, Genesis 6, verse 4, I think they're the descendants of fallen angels or demons, but that's just my own personal spiritual belief that's biblically based. Some people really think, hey, they're here from Alpha Centauri and they're doing this or that or the other. Some people think it's fake, that we're being set up for a big deception. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the conclusion. I just know Congress paid a heck of a lot of attention to this, and we covered some of that. And then we've covered interesting things like the pyramids and the nature of Mars and what we found there and how it relates to us. People love it. Sign up for the newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the newsletter link. Sign up for our TV show at thecommonsenseshow.tv. People like both. See you back here next time. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. People say, Dave, you put out multiple things a day. And that's correct. We do. We try to keep you up to date on things we think that would benefit you from knowing. You don't have to keep coming back. All you have to do is subscribe to our newsletter. One-stop shopping. It's free. Over 50,000 people are doing it. How do you do it? Just go to thecommonsenseshow.com, click the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner, put your email address in, and I promise you, we do not sell data. I find that abhorrent, and you will receive an email every day thereafter of everything we've done in the previous 24 hours. Pretty simple, isn't it? I'd suggest you do it. Now, here's the deal. We're looking at facial recognition, and what I'm about to tell you shocked me. And I think I'm kind of on top of things. But the details I'm going to give you are going to absolutely, well, they're mind-blowing. And you're going to be angry. And you're going to be really angry at the corporations that are doing this because it's unfair. And airlines are beginning to do an offshoot of this. And I'll tell you about that before we're done too. But we're going to look at facial recognition and how I believe the consumer is being treated in a discriminatory manner, and it's also profiling. And there's just no way around it. We're going to talk about it right here on the Common Sense Show. We are brought to you by the NanoSoma products. And just want to briefly go through these with you here. And if you order the three pack, you're going to get 15% off the retail price. You're going to get three liquid sprays that boost your immune system to an unbelievable level. And you can see all the research when you go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. You also get the topical gel, and I've talked about how that helps you grow pluripotent stem cells. And I've gone from having a knee that people said, you probably need a knee replacement, to where I have no pain at all when I work out and I'm doing things I haven't done in 25 years. And I can't attribute this to anything else. And then, of course, you've got the skin cream, and you heard my story about that, about how a serious cut probably needing 4 to 6 stitches. I just used the cream, wrapped it, cleaned it every day for 2 weeks, gone, no scar. Pretty amazing stuff. 15% off. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, the one thing that scares me about facial recognition is it can be transmuted. In other words, your image that carries your identity with your retinal scan can go virtually anywhere, and you can be framed for being in the wrong place at the wrong time, and a crime can be pinned on you. We used to just worry about, us being put in association with some kind of kiddie aspect, and you know what I'm talking about here. And that used to be the framing crime of the day, but it's expanded now, the potential for this. And so that is a potential misuse on the so-called black market of facial recognition. But facial recognition also is profiling you when you go into certain stores. Let me give you a couple of, oh, I'll give you three examples here. Macy's, Kroger's, and Albertsons. And it's not just confined to them, but these are the three that I could find that I could definitively trace this practice back to. And this practice is really unfair. I think, well, this is a case of technology getting ahead of the law. I think this is illegal, absolutely illegal. You go into the store, and the facial recognition knows who you are, and you have your little electronic pricing boards. Meat, $2.97 for a quarter pound, okay? But if they know your income, the zip code you live in, which is also reflective of your income, that $2.97 could become $4.12. If you're from a poorer neighborhood, or they happen to be able to cross database and know that you make maybe less than $50,000 a year of family income, well, maybe that meat becomes $2 for a quarter of a pound. I'm not joking. This is common practice, and I was stunned when I learned about this. There has been some research done on how to stop this practice. I almost feel like we're denigrating back into the old movie They Live. Do you remember the guy that put on the sunglasses in the science fiction movie, and he could see aliens that were pretending to be humans because he could see their true shape through the sunglasses? Yeah, I think it was an 80s production. Kind of comical, but it really is somewhat applicable to what I'm going to tell you here. Many infrared blocking sunglasses have been tested, but to date, I could only find evidence for two of the sunglasses, both produced by Reflectables. Congratulations, guys. I'm going to give you a plug here because they're not on my advertising list. And the Ghost and Phantom models are the ones that work. Other things say they can do it all the way from suntan lotion to sunglasses, and it doesn't work. Because you can test it. You get a hold of an iPhone or anything that uses facial recognition that you can get a hold of and test it. Put on the product or rub the product on, whatever the mechanism is, and see if it facially recognizes you. That's your litmus test. And anyone can perform that test on their own. Unfortunately, just the only two that I mentioned from Reflectables, Ghost, and Phantom Models. And you'll have to URL Reflectables to find that. You can do a search term and find it. I believe they retail for just over $200 a piece. So they're not cheap. And they're not the kind of sunglasses that you want to break after you have them for 3 days. But nonetheless, this is the only thing that stops this. I think this is going to become a widespread industry. And there's an old saying in technology, he who holds the chalk last and the chalk on the chalkboard to devise new things, but he who holds the chalk last wins. I think we're going to see a continued battle of one-upsmanship between the technology to do this and the technology to block this. It used to be we had no defense for drones and military spending, right? And so, oh, what a great investment. Well, now they're finding defenses for drones, and then the drones evolve into the next generation. Now, you get the idea. That's where I think this is headed to. But people aren't even aware of this. I asked a few of my friends. I just said, have you heard of this? No. What? You're kidding. Now, if the prices are fixed and they're written, okay, you're not looking at this. But if they're using electronic price identification, you can probably pretty well bet it's geared to you and they're using facial recognition. This is just stunning to me. I think it should be illegal because it's a form of economic profiling. And I think it violates the 14th Amendment on, separate and unequal treatment. But we'll see if the courts agree. But certainly the law has to catch up with the technology. For your edification, I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show, and we'll see you back here again next time. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. Hey, if you haven't joined our newsletter, you should. It's free. That might be the best thing. But it contains all our content in the previous 24 hours, which is multidimensional, and it saves you a lot of trips coming back and forth. People love it. Over 50,000 people are subscribed. You should too. Go to thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner. Put in your email. No, we don't sell data, I promise. And you'll get your delivery every day after that. And you'll say, oh, this is convenient. And when people move and they change emails and all that good stuff, you wouldn't believe how upset they get because they're not getting the newsletter. People come to depend on it. You will too. You'll love it. Hey, we are brought to you by the NanoSoma products. And I overcame a lot last year. I'm lucky. I've been blessed, with being able to maintain some level of youthful vigor. Even though I had to stop playing basketball about 25 years ago because of bone on bone knee, well, now I can play a little bit. And let me show you the main reason why. Pluripotent stem cells from this cream. You rub this gel on your joint that's affected. Now, for me, it took 2 to 3 months, and the symptoms lessened in severity and swelling over time. And I was trying to build myself up back in the gym when I was given the diagnosis of RSV with strip lung linings. You waited too long. At your age, they won't grow back. And this was the official prognosis. Well, sorry, guys. I'm better than I've ever been. And that's because of this NanoSoma spray. This does not cure a thing. In all honesty, if you expect to take it, oh, it's going to cure me. No, it's going to build up your immune system. When I had the RSV, I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. I mean, it was that severe. And I had gone from where I was doing sprints about 3 times a week and some others. I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't walk hardly. And after 2 weeks of doing this, multi-doses, mega doses of these sprays, I was fine. I can't believe how I came through it. And it doesn't just apply to what I had. It applies to anywhere where your immune system can help you, which is just about everything. And then there's the third part of the three pack here. And it's this. And you remember when I had the bandage on my finger, and a lot of you wrote to me and say, Dave, what's wrong? Well, I tried to cut my finger off doing some kitchen stuff, and I probably needed 4 to 6 stitches. I'm not going to the emergency room tonight and sit there for 6 hours. Not going to do it. So I said, I'll just put on this cream. Wrap it up, clean it the next day, do the same thing. 2 weeks later, completely gone, completely healed. These are amazing, amazing products. And basically, they're Eastern oriented, but they're gaining in popularity. I mean, I literally have had people come up to me when I've been at conferences and they're in tears and saying, "Thank you for telling me about your journey with this. I did it for this situation and it changed my life." I hear these stories a lot. You can be part of the success of this product, these products. The three pack is 15% off. You'll get three of the sprays, one of the gel, one of the cream. 15% off. It's really a good deal. I recommend you get it. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, I'm growing more and more concerned. And as you know, I've been since March talking a lot about earth changes. And it can't all be affiliated with what man is doing to contribute. We're looking at geological patterns around the planet and interconnectedness with the ring of fire, volcanoes, tectonic plate movements, and so forth. And we're seeing a rise in this. We know Africa's splitting off. I mean, National Geographic just did a huge thing on this. You remember, we covered that 3 months ago. And we actually showed you the photos and how you're going to have a sixth ocean that's going to separate the part of Africa and the southern tip that's breaking off to the ocean that's going to come in. And it's happening pretty rapidly right now. I don't have an estimate, but we also know geological change can happen over millions of years. It can happen overnight. Remember woolly mammoths, undigested vegetation found in Siberia in 1988 by Russian investigators? Yeah, it can happen overnight because the Earth has two different systems. I don't want to go into all the mechanics of it. One is slow burn change. The other is like being on ice skates. And it just depends which change is predominant. But let's get into the news of the day with regard to earth changes. Mount St. Helens. Oh, you remember that? Yeah, I remember Mount St. Helens. I was living in Aurora, Colorado. It's where I grew up. And I come out of my place and I had all this ash on my car. It's like I had to sweep it off like I did the snow. And it was amazing, and my eyes burned, and I was Aurora, Mount St. Helens. There's quite a distance there, but my eyes burned, my lungs. I'm working out, and I'm going, "Oh my gosh!" And lungs are burning, and those people with respiratory issues had major problems. But in the short, I remember there were a lot of fatalities. Communities disappeared. You had an entire forest just flattened. And sulfur dioxide is the thing that really kills. You don't want to be in the vicinity. And I'm saying, depends how big the eruption is, but 20 to 70 miles, sulfur dioxide can kill you. We know it with Mount Vesuvius, the people that died at Pompeii, they died in frozen positions, and it was the lung failure from the particulates that killed them. And Mount St. Helens is rumbling again. And it's blowing steam, and the magma seems to be shallow. It's closer to the surface now, which is a bad sign. I pray for the researchers because the USGS has people right up there every day on the base of the mountain measuring things. How dangerous can that be? Because this could ha these things can happen when you're not expecting it, just out of nowhere. Boom, there goes, and there's your eruption. And I worry about the people that are doing that work for the USGS. Now, this isn't an isolated situation. We're finding there's interconnectedness. We've heard about the Ring of Fire, and I'm sure you've seen that if you've looked at this at all. And Mount St. Helens is connected to the Fuqua subduction zone off the coast of Washington and Oregon. And we know one plate is moving under the other, and it's a matter of time until that whole region goes poof. Now, will the destruction be 100% total and complete? It's not thought to be that way, but will there be massive destruction? Yes. Portland and Seattle could be in some jeopardy here if that happens. But Mount St. Helens could put the health of people in Portland and Seattle and other areas throughout the region, the whole region. People who are elderly, people who have compromised lung function. This is really serious, but it's part of an overall connected system. And you have to wonder if this is not a symptom of something that's much, much bigger coming. And I've never heard anyone connect Mount St. Helens and the Cascadia subduction zone to what's happening in Yellowstone. But you got strange animal behaviors going on in Yellowstone right now. Buffalo running down the highway away from the park. And this is not an uncommon occurrence. Some of the mating habits of the local creatures, like the deer and the bears, and stuff, it's almost gone to zero in some areas. And the park rangers are saying we're seeing really aberrant behavior from the animals. And they think it's related to what's going on at Yellowstone. And that would be a massive eruption. Now, is that connected to the Cascadian subduction zone? I've never seen anything to indicate that. But it just makes me wonder because you have some activity there as well. The Earth seems to be going through changes. I mean, we know that Chile is sinking. Parts of South America are actually sinking. And if it keeps going in the trend they are, a lot of South America is going to be underwater. Does this kind of light up the light here for you in your brain? A Yamaguni off the coast of Okinawa, a sunken city. Off the coast of Cuba, 2 miles deep, a sunken city. We've seen these remnants, and a lot of the stuff that we're finding on the ocean floor are amazing. And we may be entering a time that we've had before on the planet of extreme earth changes. And here's the bad news. We ain't a type one civilization, according to Michio Kaku and the way he lays that out. We're at the end of type zero. We can't control earth processes. We can see clouds and move the jet stream and so forth, and we can do some influencing, but we sure can't control geological processes. We're pretty helpless here and harmless. I'm thankful that we have groups like the USGS and they're monitoring this with satellite and LIDAR and sonar and so forth. And they hopefully can give enough warning to save lives. But I will tell you this, they know something's coming because one report that I've read, we're talking about hospitals in Portland and Seattle. They're stockpiling emergency supplies now. The Mount St. Helens situation has them concerned, and I think really it's the overall Cascadia subduction zone. But it's going to happen, people. It's just a matter of time. And the Earth goes through changes, and some of them are cataclysmic. You know, a lot of people really believe in the Atlantis situation and Lemuria and all these past civilizations' folklore. And if you look at the legends of the Hopi and the Navajo, and people in India and China and so they all tell similar stories, and you have the floods universal to every cultural folklore that we have. So it looks like this is something that's going to be repetitive. Let's just hope that you're not near something catastrophic and that we get plenty of warning. If Yellowstone goes, oh boy, we've covered that before. That could be devastating. And the United States would never be the same. And you know, one other thing I want to mention too. There was a danger, and we didn't lose any planes, but when Mount St. Helens exploded in 1980, many commercial airliners reported temporary engine failure due to the ingestion of the materials, the particulates. Pretty serious stuff. Air travel would stop for a while. You also would see pollution just devastating the region because what goes up must come down. It would overwhelm water treatment, could overwhelm the grid. There's a lot of spin-off effects that can take place. The old saying, you can't fool Mother Nature, seems like it's true. So stay tuned. And if you get an order to evacuate, I wouldn't think twice. Grab your pets, your favorite picture. Hopefully your records are in somewhere you can retrieve them quickly and then get the heck out of Dodge. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time.